From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fourth day of March, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Matt Bennett. He's at agmarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. A bit later in the program, Mike Tenura will be here from T-Storm in Chicago to talk about the weather forecast. Mostly, we'll detail what's been happening in South America from Argentina to Brazil. We'll also take a look at the southern part of the United States and what the wet weather and warmer weather might mean for early planting in those regions. That with Mike Tenura from T-Storm. And I'll rerun a portion of the interview that I did with Gary Schnitke earlier in the week about crop insurance decisions and tell you how to see the webinar that was hosted earlier today by the FarmDoc team, Gary, Nick Paulson, and Bruce Sherrick, all taking up both the ARC PLC and the crop insurance decision. We'll get that to our website soon enough, but stay with us and you'll hear all about it right here on Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report for this Thursday afternoon. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn settled at $5.32.5 today, down 2.75. December new crop at $4.75.5, up 2 cents. May beans at $14.10.5, three higher. However, they had a high today of $4.38. Remember that number, $12.30.5, the high, or rather settlement price for the November up 6.5 cents. The high there at $12.40. Bean meal futures for the day were down 2.20. The bean oil futures, 93 cents higher, and soft red winter wheat was down a nickel on the afternoon. Live cattle were about 85 cents lower. Feeders were down around $1.90 to $2.30 for the afternoon, and lean hogs were anywhere between 62.5 cents lower and a nickel higher for the day. Matt Bennett from agmarket.net now joins us to take a look at the marketplace. He's fresh in from the Commodity Classic, though I suppose you didn't have to go anywhere to host that early riser session. I know we talked earlier in this week with Ed Ussett from the University of Minnesota. He and you, was there anybody else on the session with you today?
No, it was just Ed and I. You know, Ed and I have done that session for 7 years now. Bryce Knorr did it with us the first 6 years, and of course he's retired at this point for the most part, and so he was not going to be on with us this year. But it's always extremely well attended session. In the past, we've had usually 800 to over 1,000 at the in-person event, you know, as far as the great grain marketing debate. So this year, of course, was just a little bit different, but you know, it's still enjoyable. Ed is a wealth of knowledge and an excellent presenter, so I certainly have learned a lot from him over the years.
Any takeaways from him this morning that you recall?
You know, I would highly recommend if a person can watch that to do so. For instance, whenever we come into February 1st with an inverse over a nickel from July corn to Dease corn, we've seen that happen 13 times in the past 30, 40 years. And so out of those 13 times, only once have you seen December corn rally from February 1st to harvest time. As far as the totality, it's actually been lower at harvest time. The only exception to that rule, of course, would have been 2012, whenever we rallied substantially. So just because we have a bullish demand-led type bull market here at this time of year, it doesn't mean that we're going to be higher in the fall on fall corn. And I found that to be a very interesting statistic, very similar statistic for soybeans as well. And so, you know, again, I highly recommend going and watching that presentation.
You can go and watch that presentation. Look for the Commodity Classic. I think it's just commodityclassic.com. I don't quite recall the website address, but I'm sure the early riser will be listed there and they can watch you and Ed in action. Speaking of action, what did you think of today's action in Chicago?
Well, it wasn't pleasant in all honesty, just due to the fact that we rallied substantially. You know, you saw, for instance, May soybeans top out at 14.38 on the day, but we closed about 28 cents off the highs, and so actually significantly closer to the lows than the highs. We were trying to go up and make some new highs, and Unfortunately, we just weren't able to bust through. Now, it was interesting to see that kind of strength. Basically, people talked about decent export sales. I mean, obviously, they weren't large, but they don't really need to be much of anything at this stage of the game. Corn export sales were terrible. And so, whenever you stop and think about the fact that corn export sales are only 116 million tons, a little bit for next year as well. Soybeans actually were 334 and around 200. And so, given the fact that we saw, I would say, respectable soybean sales, that's kind of what got the market going. That, and everybody's still talking about Argentina dryness. We've been talking about Argentina dryness Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It just so happens that some days it's bullish enough to rally the market, and other days it's not. So it's certainly been a topsy-turvy week, very much a roller coaster. But today, going up the way that we did and then settling back off the way we did was really not that great of a indicator.
Sure seems like this whole week's been interesting.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the interesting thing here this week, for instance, has been that we've seen the new crop continue to kind of gain on old crop. That huge inverse is unwound just a little bit. Is that going to continue? I think some folks have been suggesting maybe to move your long positions from old crop to new crop. But at the same time, I kind of feel like on this corn, if we do find out the true numbers, I guess, and I'm not poking fun at the USDA, I'm just saying if there's enough information to shed light on this, I still feel like the old crop situation's tighter than a 1.5. In fact, I would probably trim it a couple hundred million bushels. But if that were the case, I would think that your bull spreading, for instance, might actually pick back up here at some point. Now, I don't know if we're going to get a lot of new information here in the March report. Typically, it's a little more of a quiet report, but at the same time, I think that you could get some information there, which might at least give us a little support if they would go ahead and throw a few more of those export sales in there. And then all eyes will certainly be on that end of the month report whenever we look at acreage and quarterly stocks.
What are farmers asking you about these days most more often than not?
Just how much should we be, locking in either for old or new? I know a lot of folks are still sitting on some old crop, hoping for that kind of exciting, dynamic summer rally. And then as far as new crops concerned, what percentage do we want to get to? Whenever you look at a crop insurance price up in that 458 level, essentially 70 cents higher than a year ago. Obviously, with soybeans, we're pretty close to $12. And right now you're looking at soybeans at 1230. And so I got to think, whenever we're above spring prices, we're in a situation right now that we can lock in a decent amount of income at levels that we haven't even approached this time of year. People say, hey, I got a lot of better price for my old crop because I was patient this past year. But every year is different. And I think sometimes we got to quantify our worst case scenario, leave ourselves some room for flexibility and to take a little bit of the upside if it comes to us. But if nothing else, lock in what this downside might look like, because there's no question that if we raise a decent sized crop, as our presentation would have showed you this morning, and Ed Usett's research would show you, there's no guarantees that this market is going to hold intact.
I made note that the Reuters survey of traders showed that ending stocks might drop 3 million bushels from 120 to 117, but that's not a lot.
Right. I mean, the thing about it on soybeans, you got to ask yourself what the bullish report look like at this stage of the game, because there's really not a whole lot else that the USDA can do. We know we're not going to get any new numbers as far as the new crops concerned in an S&D table, until you get into the month of May. But when we're looking at this old crop situation, you can't tighten it up much more. And I don't believe the USDA at this stage of the game is going to be willing to go much under the 120, maybe a 115 type situation. But I guess for me, you're running out of the ability to have a real friendly report on soybeans. On corn, maybe you've got a little more. And I think on corn, what you got to remember is we went into that February report pretty bulled up because of those big export sales that we saw to China. You're going into this March report, and I don't think the market's near as bulled up as it was before. Obviously, the price action here lately would suggest that not really bulled up at all, relatively speaking, if you compare ourselves to February. And so maybe you do get a 50 million cut as far as carryout's concerned. If you do, I do think that you'll have a very supportive reaction to that report next week.
Hey, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, Don.
And that's Matt Bennett. He's with agmarket.net. Now, up next, we'll rerun a portion of yesterday's interview with Gary Schnitke. First, let's start with the crop insurance numbers. They're $4.58 for corn and $11.87 for soybeans.
Much higher than last year. So that $4.58 compares to $3.88 last year. So we are looking at significantly higher guarantees on both corn and soybeans.
So those guarantees mean that we will have higher premiums. So will the volatility that came in the last five trading days of the month of February. What that number end up being?
Yeah, so the number for corn, the volatility is 0.23. That happens to be above the volatility for last year, which was 0.15. That is going to raise our premiums significantly, both the higher projected price and the higher volatility. But just to give you a feel, last year in the listener area, many people purchased an RP 85% policy that cost somewhere between, well, let's say $15-ish per acre, and you could make it more if you did that with basic and optional units. But that $15 premium last year will be roughly $25 this year. So roughly $10 more per acre at the 85% level on an enterprise unit. So,
and that covers $100 more income.
Yep, that will do cover $100 more revenue because your projected price, which goes into the guarantee, goes up as well.
So the question then for producers, is it worth it? And you've been working through a couple of options for them to think about. What are the options they might consider?
Yeah, first off, I would say it's probably worth it because you're going to be protecting a higher revenue level. So if at all possible, think about that. But many farmers sort of have a budget in mind. If you want to keep in that $12 to $18 an area, you're going to have to drop down from 85% to 80%, or roughly 5%. And that's probably the case. If you did 80% last year, you're going to have to drop down to 75 to keep your premium about the same. Again, the good thing about dropping from 85 to 80 is you're probably still going to have a higher guarantee this year than last year at 80% versus 85% last year because of the higher prices.
So that's just an apple-to-apples comparison, but does not include the SCO and ECO.
Yep, that does not include SCO and ECO. So you could add SCO and ECO, and if you want to pay $20+, you can add ECO 95%. You can lower that by lowering the protection factor, but you're looking at premiums that are relatively high, but you can use that to provide additional protection for your crop. Those products, ECO over time, a 90% product in central and northern Illinois will pay in about 50% of the years, and will tend to pay, if you pay in $10, will pay back $16 over time. Of course, you got the got the $10 or the 50% of the times when you pay $10 in premium and don't get anything back. ECO at the 95% level, which will provide 95% county coverage down to 86%, excuse me, will have a premium at the full protection factor of about $25 to $30 per acre. It'll play in two-thirds of the years, and over time will return $40-ish per acre. So you will make tend to pay out more than it pays in over time. But obviously you get that one-third of the time when you're paying in a $28 premium and not getting much back. Nothing back, in fact.
As you said, and I'll clarify just a bit here, pays out about two-thirds of the time and essentially pays out more than you actually pay in on the premiums.
Yep. So ECO is subsidized at the revenue level at a 44% rate. So that will cause those products to pay more out over time than pay in. Again, this year, I think for a lot of farmers, it's going to come down to how much you want to pay for premium. First off, are you comfortable paying a $25 an acre premium? If you are, in northern and central Illinois, you're looking probably at a RP enterprise level, 85%, or RP 80% plus ECL and SCL. If you're willing to pay more, you know, up to $50 an acre, you can add ECL at the highest level. Now, over time, you'll pay more in than pay out, but one third of the time you spend $50 if it's a normal year, and have an expense of $50 in farmer paid premium.
That's Gary Schnicke. It's a portion of an interview I did earlier in the weekend that you heard yesterday on this program. Just a reminder that the ARC PLC decision and crop insurance decisions are all due the 15th day of this month, the 15th day of March. I'll post the webinar that Gary, Bruce Sherrick, and Nick Paulson hosted this morning, I moderated, to our website at willag.org as soon as it's available. You'll want to listen to that. It's only an hour long, but it's worth all the time that it takes to watch it. So make sure that you stay with Gary on that one. We'll post that webinar up at willag.org, willag.org, as soon as it's available. The ARC PLC decision for corn is fairly simple. Probably PLC, most likely PLC, but watch the webinar. You'll catch that. And then for soybeans, more of a toss-up, but it does lean to the PLC side. Crop insurance, far more decisions to make, and you'll just have to watch and listen and try to make some more sense out of it. Mostly that decision will depend on how much money you want to spend, $15, $25, or more than $30 an acre, and it's all detailed in the webinar. The webinar will be on our website at willag.org, willag.org. Let's take a look at the weather forecast now. Mike Tenura is here. He's from T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Mike. Thanks for being with us for the day.
Great being here, Todd, as always.
I'd like you to detail South America and what you think conditions are like, please.
Well, it hasn't rained a whole lot in Argentina since about January 31st. And because of that, we need some rain because soybeans are moving through their sensitive phases. The way it looks at the moment, there's not much rain coming up. We saw a few showers and storms this week, but it really wasn't all that big of a deal. It's going to be pretty hot and dry for the next 7 days or so, and then we'll start to see some rains move back in sometime next weekend or early the following week. Now, soybeans can't last forever without rain, so we're looking for mid-March for the next rain event when it hasn't rained a whole lot since late January. That likely indicates that it's too dry. And we can look at our soybean charts that show us how much of the crop was drier than normal or wetter than normal over different periods of time. And it's clearly telling us that it's been too dry over the last several weeks, and again, dating all the way to the end of January. So we're going to need to see rain. There's probably not much coming up, and it'll just become a story of did we lose yields or not based on the lack of rain.
And if you go further to the north?
Well, Brazil kind of has the opposite situation. They were real dry way back when in the end of 2020 and then into the start of this year. Then they've been receiving decent rainfall here and there ever since. The problem, though, is that we're now harvesting soybeans and we want to plant corn and it keeps raining. Now, it's not raining in gigantic buckets or anything like that, but it just rains a little bit every day in different areas. And it just won't allow them to completely dry out to get the soybeans harvested and to get the corn planted. Now, of course, it all will get planted with time and all the soybeans will be harvested. The problem, though, that eventually we're going to need to think about is that rainfall typically shuts down in Goiás and Mato Grosso right around May 10th to May 20th. So that's still quite a bit off into the future by 2 to 2.5 months. But the problem is that the later and later and later we keep planting corn, the more likely it is that corn is going to be sensitive in that period of time. And then eventually what we'll have to start thinking about is it raining or not? If the rain shut off on May 1st, that's a problem. If they shut off on May 20th, that's not as much of a problem. If they last all the way till the end of May, that would be unusual, but that would certainly alleviate any concerns. So that's going to be a big story coming up, because they export about 39 million metric tons of soybeans, or of corn, excuse me, for the coming season. So we need to see that corn get planted so it all can be exported eventually.
Well, we'll be depending on you to keep track of the weather there and keep us up to date. I would like to check in on the United States as well, across the southern part of the U.S. Producers in the Delta all the way into the Southeast will be thinking about moving pretty soon. And they've kind of been wet, although it's been warmer.
Well, it's certainly been a lot warmer. And this is another one of those unusual pattern changes that we're in. We've seen high temperatures well into the 60s and 70s to the west of Illinois. And some of that mildness is going to expand and envelop the central U.S. through next week. So it will be nice and mild going forward. There is going to be a lot of rain, though, coming up. We think that we'll start to see some pretty good rain events starting around a week from now and then continuing for about 7 to 10 days. That'll take us into the last third of March. Now, we typically don't start planting soybeans in the southern growing regions of Mississippi, Arkansas, and Louisiana until the last 5 to 7 days of March, and then really in the beginning of April. So this isn't going to have much of an impact on those planting intentions at this point. The only way we will be, we'd become a little bit concerned about it is if this wet pattern in 1 to 2 weeks were to somehow last several more weeks beyond that. That would be outguessing the weather, so we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. But we certainly can see that some rains are coming up for a big chunk of the U.S., and then we'll have to see whether or not it dries out toward the end of the month.
Hey, thank you so much.
Yep, great being here.
Yeah, that is Mike Tenere. He's with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Just a quick discussion on this Thursday afternoon before we wrap up the closing market report. Earlier today, I moderated the webinar that Gary Schnicke, Nick Paulson, and Bruce Sherrick held on the decisions related to ARC PLC and crop insurance. I'll post it to the website soon enough. It's not up yet, but as soon as that video is up, I'll make sure that it's available at willag.org. It's a confusing set of decisions, probably for both ARC PLC and crop insurance, less so for ARC PLC. ARC PLC is the most likely candidate for corn and soybeans, so the latter, soybeans, is more of a toss-up. And the crop insurance decision, you'll need probably to watch and think about just a bit more thoroughly. Again, I'll get that posted to the website as a video. It'll be the whole webinar. If you didn't catch it this morning, I'll have it up later today, I think. And you'll be able to watch that video as it relates to the crop insurance decisions as well. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. It did come to you from Illinois Public Media.